This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't feel we have carped on Trey Lance National.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't think we are part of the national media that has been critical of Trey Lance.
I think we've been one of the few shows who is pro.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Because we just want to see him play.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Still to come, senior writer for The Athletic, Vic Taffer. UCLA athletic director, Martin Jarman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Tyler Lockett last hour. Martin Jarman, the athletic director of UCLA Athletics, will be joining us in studio in hour number three. He's making the drive down the 405, which is really, it's a big ask here in L.A. Nobody picks people up at the airport here. It's just ridiculous. Don't ask me.
Don't even ask.
I mean, it's amazing. Del Tufo will offer to drop people off.
Yeah, the drop off and pick up. Very different.
But anyway, long story short is we're happy. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What's more likely coming up? Our usual Friday fun. And last year, Chiefs fans are still in my grill over my stance last year that it was time for them to finally not win the AFC West. Since Patrick Mahomes was there and I chose the Raiders, couldn't have been more disappointed. But I'm still a believer in a lot of the talent on this roster, and a lot of questions surrounding Josh Jacobs and what's going on there. So pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show the senior writer from The Athletic who covers the Raiders in the NFL and the host of State of the Nation podcast, Vic Taffer, here on the program. How you doing, Vic?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I am doing just fine. Let's just jump right into it. What is the latest with Josh Jacobs and the Raiders?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think my guess is he'll be back before the first game of the season. He's not happy, clearly, I think. But kind of, you know, we need to see the state of running backs in this league. It's not a lot of leverage for him. I think to walk away from $10.1 million, which you get on the franchise tag, that's a lot to ask, no matter how mad you are. That's a big stand to take. I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that. So my expectation is he'll be back before that first game.
Any threat that the Raiders might rescind the tag and just say, we'll split up your $10 million amongst other running backs and go that way?
No, they want him back. I think they're confident once he gets back, it'll be okay. I think they clearly led the league in rushing last year. He's very talented, and they think 10.1 is a good price, apparently, and so they – I'm happy to pay that price when he shows up.
So, obviously, the Raiders are in this situation because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option when they could have, and then he goes and leads the league in rushing. Why didn't they pick up his fifth-year option, Vic?
I feel they weren't that sure how good he was. I think they watched the tape, and it was good, but not really that caliber of guy, not a guy you can really build around long-term for the future. So I think they were willing to go ahead and let him play out the contract and probably not bring him back in the following year, and I think he went ahead and ruined that plan by running for a billion yards and playing every play and breaking every tackle. So I think he obviously was better than I thought he was. And he's a very important member of the team as far as the locker room goes and the guy players look up to. And the guy definitely wears, his heart in his sleeve and definitely plays everything he has. So the guy you want in your locker room. So I think they realized that. And they brought him back with a tag.
Do you think that's playing out the fact that they didn't pick up his fifth-year option and made him prove it is something that is still stuck in his craw, Vic?
Oh, for sure. I think when you hear like the whole the prove it year thing, that's if you're him, you're like, okay, I led the league in rushing, so obviously I proved it. But we see that's not the way it works with running backs in the NFL. You can prove it all you want. It's kind of been proven. You can plug guys in and kind of get by with it. So. It's tough with the top running backs, guys like him and Saquon Barkley. So I think there's not a lot of leverage, not a lot of wiggle room, unfortunately. So pretty much he has no choice, really, but to come back and play under the tag.
Well, I mean, the other choice is to say, how about you give me at least what you gave the Giants gave Saquon, which is a little bit of a sprinkle of difficult to achieve incentives. Are the Raiders putting that on the table? Best of your knowledge?
Well, it's tough because he led the league in rushing last year, so I'm not sure what more you can incentivize. How can you improve on last year? And the Saquon thing was weird. I didn't really understand how that thing came together so quickly because he was really upset. They had the Zoom call. Apparently the worst Zoom call among all Zoom calls, because a day later he flips and signs for like an extra $900,000. So I'm not sure if there was like a handshake agreement or it's kind of wink wink, but to me that made no sense. And clearly, I think they probably view Saquon as a bigger part of the future than the Raiders do Josh. I think that's fair to say. So I think it's a little different in terms of what they're willing to do. But I think when they were negotiating, I think for Josh, you know, the starting point was, okay, give me at least the 2 years for $22 million. That's the two tags back-to-back combined, $22 million. That's a starting point. And we can, and, but they never got to that point. So for him, it was really a no-brainer but not to sign.
Well, I guess what they could do is – say lead the league in rushing again, you get a certain amount of money. You can also put an incentive on touchdowns. You could put an incentive on receptions. You could put an incentive on snaps, right? I mean, there are ways to do this. The question is, are the Raiders doing anything other than just saying sign the tag, come back, and let's play football, based on your knowledge?
Yeah, you're right. There are different ways to do it, and they might still be able to nudge a little bit. I think there was a video clip from the game last week where some fan was yelling at Dave Ziegler about Josh Jacobs. He's like, hey, give him some incentives. And Dave's like, yeah, we might do that. So apparently that fan's involved in the negotiations. He knows what's going to happen. But yeah, at some point if they realize that giving back a little sooner, maybe a little happier, might be the way to go. I could see them maybe getting a little more than they have. But again, I'm not really sure they have a lot of they think he'll be back. So in their mind, why would you really pay more if he's coming back anyway? And again, it's not really, I think, clearly a part of your long-term plan.
Vic Tafer from The Athletic, Raiders Insider here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up with Devontae Adams? What's the latest with him?
He's good. He got a little nicked up in practice last week, but he's out here this week in practice against the Rams. He looks fine. He's in good spirits for now. I think he had the little thing in the offseason where he said he wasn't quite seen eye-to-eye with the new regime, but they've, you know, things are fine right now. But I'd be a little concerned. I mean, if they have a slow start, it's a really tough schedule. If they have a slow start, I'm not sure he'll be as happy come week five or week six.
So good spirits. What do you think? Clearly it's in there, right? Clearly something was up. What was he, do you think, deep down upset about? Derek Carr and the treatment of him? Anything like that? Like what can you give me some thoughts?
I think big picture, I think he came last year as a big trade. You know, they came with two picks and they're talking Super Bowl, and they have like they're bringing Chandler Jones, and they're making all these moves, being ultra aggressive, saying, "Okay, we're gonna try and win now." Clearly, the season went off the rails, and they kind of, you know, they benched his buddy Derek, and Derek's gone, and not really aggressive this offseason. Not really a team that's like, "Oh, they made a lot of moves; they're really trying to win." They're kind of in a weird middle ground. We're like, you know, we may try and win, we may try and see if we're gonna rebuild long term. We'll see how it goes. So, if you're Devontae Adams, you're the best receiver in the league. And you know, not young, but not old, but definitely getting to that point where you want to get, you know, down to business. So I'm not sure he's confident in what exactly is happening as far as, you know, the drive to win now, which if you're him, that's all you really care about.
So let's just say, you as you point out, the schedule, not easy. At Denver, at Buffalo, home for Pittsburgh, at Chargers, home for Green Bay to start. And obviously if Devontae and the Raiders go into that game against his former team on a Monday night in Vegas, let's just say under 500 or treading water or the issues from last year, big leads unprotected, happen and come home to roost, right? I mean, what in what form would his displeasure take in your mind?
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I could see maybe inquiring upon a possible move, possible trade. If you really are going to, at that point, I think the Raiders are like, okay, we are going to take a long-term approach. We are going to try and get a young quarterback here next year and build from, you know, the draft picks and stuff. And so maybe, I don't know, there's a lot of money on the contract in terms of a cap hit. So I'm not sure how feasible it is, but I could definitely see Devontae saying, hey, maybe this is not the perfect marriage that we all thought it was going to be. Maybe I should go somewhere else where they're trying to win right now.
Vic Tafer, The Athletic, Raiders Insider, State of the Nation podcast host right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why didn't it work with Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels last year, all said and done?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I clearly, like, sometimes people get married and they would know right away, the honeymoon, you're like, oh, this is not it. I made a mistake. I think that was kind of the case with those two guys. I think they thought they could, you know, obviously Derek is a coach's, you know, kid, and knows how to read offenses, knows, studies the game since he was like, you know, 8 years old, knows all about them X's and O's. And they thought he and Josh would be able to kind of figure it out and kind of blend the analogies together. But never on the same page, different languages as far as the offense goes, never really comfortable. I think that became more and more clear as the year went on. Just a bad marriage, just personality-wise. I just think it didn't click. So I think now Josh went and got Jimmy G, who knows the system from New England, and they know each other really well. So the hope is that familiarity and kind of comfortableness together will help the offense be better than it was last year.
Well, I mean, and Jimmy G first came to the fore, obviously, in New England and had those moments of success when Brady was out that caused so many people to have Jimmy G on their radar screen. We all understand why he wound up on the West Coast to begin with. All that said, is this just going to be that marriage all over again? How is his foot going into this season, best you can tell, Vic?
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good. He's definitely, he's a very popular guy. He was with the Niners in the locker room. He is here. People like his easygoing personality, kind of a he talks trash on the field, and it's kind of different guy than Derek is, I think, in terms of and the offense. I think we'll see not the arm strength Derek had, but maybe better in the red zone, maybe in terms of reading things a little better in tight coverages, and we'll see. I mean, definitely it's we'll see if Josh McDaniels can also adapt a little bit and kind of bring him back. And I guess you're going to try and use the stuff that Jimmy used with Kyle Shanahan, and we'll see how that works. But no one really knows right now. I mean, training camp is just people kind of, we're watching and trying to guess what's going to happen, but it's just practice, so you really don't know it. So, the ball's flying for real.
So I couldn't help but notice when I was watching Aiden O'Connell perform very well, by the way, against the 49ers in preseason. I'm like, what just is jumping off at the screen at me other than how well he's playing? Oh, that's right. Number four. They gave him Derek Carr's number, Vic? Really? Right like that?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I think Derek got a laugh out of it when we heard about that. I think it's it's funny because when it first happened, Raider fans were like, "Wow, how can this kid ask for Derek Carr's jersey?" And he had nothing to do with it. They found the number. He had nothing to do with it.
I'm sure.
Number four, and it is kind of a weird number to give someone. I mean, Derek didn't, he's the all-time pass leader. Not a legend, whatever, but still a little respect, maybe a little bit of a year off, but I think it was clearly a sign by the regime they wanted to move on quickly, and it is what it is. I mean, you can call it a petty move if you want, or just not a big deal, but it's interesting. Definitely not an accident.
Well, at least Vic, the coach and everybody that comes from the organization that the coach came from, they don't do anything without thinking about it. It's of course this was a conscious decision, right, Vic? It had to have been decision.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they hate when everyone uses the phrase Patriots way, but clearly everything here is kind of the Patriots way, and that definitely is the same kind of deal. It's kind of like maybe it's a signal to the rest of the team, like, hey, man, he's gone. But, we've moved on. Forget about him, and this is a different team. So I'm sure there's a lot of layers to it psychologically. I'm not that smart, but whatever. They did it, and here we are.
Well, and then, one last thing on Carr here, Vic, that last year, I think it was after that mind-blowing loss to Jeff Saturday's Colts, where I think Matt Ryan is still the iron deer on the front lawn running down the field there in Vegas, that Carr was crying, like in tears, at the podium, talking about other guys in the locker room maybe not being as serious as him, and he knows where he stands and things like that. What was that about, and has it been fixed in that locker room, do you think, Vic?
That game definitely was a low point. I definitely recall Matt Ryan running out of bounds and he turned back inbounds to get more yards. I love that so much about that Raiders defense last year. But, Derek definitely broke down. I think at that point he probably sensed what was coming. He probably sensed this is not working. He was very excited about playing with Devontae. He's very excited about, winning. I mean, they haven't won much in his 9 years here. So I think he really was looking forward to last year kind of being a turning point. And it definitely wasn't. So I think he sensed what was coming. So and the locker room was kind of a mess last year. I think it was they brought in a lot of guys from the Patriots, and a lot of young guys. And there was definitely a mix of, some Gruden's guys still there. So it just didn't ever click. And I think you saw this year a huge roster turnover this year. So a lot more different guys, a lot more younger guys trying to get their own kind of personality on this thing. So I think last year the whole thing just fell apart, and there was some really, really ugly, not just that one, but some really ugly losses last year, which showed the team wasn't on the same page.
So then I guess in wrapping up this conversation, how are things going to be different other than Jimmy G? That's the obvious. Give me some other aspects of what you're seeing in camp, what you're hearing about, maybe in the locker room. How are things going to be different for the Raiders this year?
Well, the biggest reason for optimism is that the defensive line. So they got Max Crosby. Charlie Jones had up and down year last year. He's in a little better shape this year. They brought in Tyree Wilson, the first-round pick who just got to camp a couple days ago. He was nursing a foot injury, but he's back now. So they got some other guys on the depth charts. They're pretty good so far in camp. So the hope is that trio and that pass rush and the interior push, Jerry Tillery's been great since coming from the Chargers last year. He's at a good camp. The hope is that defensive line is so good and gets so much pressure that it makes the job for the other guys behind them, which are really a bunch of no-names with the linebacker spot and the secondary, makes those guys better. So the hope is that the defensive line can push and make the defense a lot better than it was last year.
Okay, so you believe we will see Josh Jacobs back in camp when?
My guess is the weekend before the first game of the season. I just don't – and yeah, you're right. If they wanted to give him a little more money, it could be a little sooner than that, but I think at this point they're kind of, most people are kind of set in their ways, and I think that's just the way it's going to go. I think he realizes he can't say no to $10 million, and they want him back.
But enough to get him, do you think, on the field? He will be week one, a starting, like Jimmy G's first handoff of the season is to Josh Jacobs?
I do. I think he's, I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but last time I talked to him, he's in great shape. He worked hard all offseason. He definitely, he's got something to prove, not just to them, but I think to the rest of the league. And so, yeah, I think he's raring to go. I think he'll be fine. He's a veteran guy, knows what to do, and takes care of his body. So, I really have no other really great options. I mean, Zamir White is okay. He's the young guy behind him, and they got Amir Abdullah and Brian Bolden. But, yeah, when Josh Jacobs walks back into the building, he's the guy.
All right. And now here's the last one for you, Vic. I had the investigative reporter from ESPN, Don Van Natta, here yesterday, and he said the lawsuit that is currently working its way through the Nevada Supreme Court from John Gruden is maybe the number one item on all of the owner's radar screen of concern. Is the specter of Gruden there anymore still in Vegas, Vic?
Not so much. I mean, I guess it's in New Orleans, right? He's been showing up and helping out Derek with the offense. I think that's hilarious. But, yeah, I think his shadow will always be here the way it ended. And I think, but and people are definitely aware of where he stands. I think he's in a good spot where he has so much money. He doesn't need to settle. There's really no number they can throw at him where he'll like, okay, I'll settle because he's so rich and he's so upset about how this went down. So I definitely believe he'll make it drag out, and he wants blood.
Why is it funny that he's helping Carr with an offense, Vic? Why is it funny to
you? Just because of Derek left here, and people trying to turn the page. But yeah, here's the old Raiders coach helping out the old Raiders quarterback in New Orleans with, by the way, former Raiders head coach Dennis Allen there also. So it's all, and the Raiders fans are definitely watching with their eyebrows raised.
Oh, I just thought it's because Gruden was never happy with any quarterback he's ever had anywhere without Nate Peterman around. Pretty much. I thought that's what you meant.
It's funny because he definitely, when he first got to the Raiders, he was not loving Derek Carr, but I think Derek definitely grew on him and definitely he worked hard. And Derek's a guy who wants to please his coaches, you know, at any end. So it's probably kind of ironic it didn't work out with Josh, but he and John got tighter, and by the end, they were pretty close.
Vic, I appreciate the time. Thanks again. We'll have you back on throughout the season, and certainly keep an eye on things as the Raiders play football. Always interesting. Thank you.
All right, bud. Take care.
You got it. That's Vic Tafer of The Athletic talking about the team that is going to be the host city for the Super Bowl.
I'm ready for that week.
That's going to be a little bit of fun, probably.
Yeah, a little bit.
So what do you make of all that? Josh Jacobs will be in. Davante Adams is, you know, in good spirits.
Right now.
But if things don't start well, maybe he'll say trade. Want to get me out of here?
Do we have the Raiders schedule? Can we throw
that
out?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, we have the Raiders schedule. And I just mentioned, how about that start? Three of the first four are on the road. At Denver, at Buffalo. Home for Pittsburgh.
which could on a Sunday a night, game, really,
the whole country, right? At Chargers.
They're going to be 0-4.
That's entirely possible. And then Monday night, could if they're 0-4 and Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love are coming back into town, you know, maybe 3-1, 2-2, feeling good about themselves, and Devontae's there going, you know.
That's
going
to be a Packer home game in Vegas, man.
Home for New England. How about Jimmy G versus
Patriots
Belichick?
Home game.
McDaniels v. Belichick.
In Vegas.
You're going to go to that one, I imagine.
I plan on it, yeah.
At Chicago, at Detroit, home for the Giants, home for the Jets on Sunday night. Rodgers.
The trade deadline is what, the 31st? Oh. Devontae Adams is going to be asking for a trade.
Well, I don't know if Mark Davis has Breer's phone, but I'm sure there'll be an exclamation point about not trading Devontae Adams now or in October. I mean.
What week does Tom Brady come back?
That ain't happening either.
Sixth.
It's not happening. It's not happening. Hey, let's spin it. Let's spin it a little positive here.
Okay, good.
You remember, like, if McDaniels and Carr were gear grinding, as Vic Tafer was just saying, and we all sensed it. Although on the Zoom prior to the Christmas Eve game against the Steelers, they both were singing each other's praises. I'm telling you, they were singing each other's praises on the Zoom call. It wasn't just like, okay, between us, things aren't great here.
Right.
Which some guys, you know, off the record, you know, the couple things we're dealing with here. Quarterback to quarterback, Derek to Kurt Warner. Hey, you know, remember a couple things? You know, we're like, there's also ways of saying on the record a few things to say. There's a few red flags here we're dealing with. They were all dealing with like, yeah, hey, we're starting great. These games are going well. We could have been, like, if we had held on to one of these leads, two of these leads, we're in the playoff race right now.
That's true.
And they were in the playoff chase still for that final seventh playoffs. But that was a big Christmas Eve night game in Pittsburgh for both teams. And when the Raiders lost it, they had one of those partridge in a pear tree playoff paths to the seventh seed. This team needed a win. That team needed to have a strength of schedule, tie break, and all that stuff. It was still alive, but they're like, we're pulling the plug. Derek's being sent home for Christmas. His wife's crying. It's now time for a page turn. And so if they were gear grinding, who runs McDaniels' offense in the manner in when he wants it run? This guy. Who got that big moment when Brady was deflated, right? Isn't that when he got his run? And didn't he get hurt, Jimmy G, during that run, and Jacoby Brissett had to come in?
Correct.
And he looked good.
Correct.
It looked well enough that the Niners are like, we'll take him for that too, that Bill is allegedly, reportedly being forced to accept to get him out. Who's the guy? Who was coordinating the offense back in that day, Christopher?
Yeah, it was Josh. Josh is a great offensive coordinator.
Who wants the offense the way he wants it? That guy. Who can run it the way he wants it? That guy. Who can be the Welker / Edelman in this role?
Hunter Renfro, man.
Who can be the big, tall receiver who is so dominant in this offense? You see what I'm going?
Who can stay healthy enough to do all of these things?
Sometimes Jimmy G has problems doing that.
Yeah, so the guy in the owner's suite can't.
So I'm saying there is some there.
Don't do it, Ridge.
I
care about you.
But I don't think you could deny, even though I just went higher register.
I would be shocked
that scenario.
If the Raiders made the playoffs.
Dude, at Denver,
I'd be shocked.
Is so tough. At Bills right after. Oy. Like, if we had to sit here and look at every team's, I know, what? If I, like, maybe we should do this endeavor next week as we're twiddling our thumbs in the third preseason week waiting for this season to begin. Toughest, maybe I'll do a top five list of toughest first 2 weeks.
Toughest September.
September's just three games this year because the first Sunday of the season is October 1st. I mean, the first Sunday of the week four Sunday is the first day of October.
Got it.
First 2 weeks, because everyone's talking 0-2. 0-2, well, first 2 weeks, are you 2-0? You see your chance of making the playoffs?
0-2, I think you're like 15% to make the playoffs.
That was way back in the day, those conversations when there was just 16 mere regular season games. I mean, it's still very important.
Still tracks.
I know. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Hour number three, Martin Jarman, the athletic director at UCLA, is making his way down here. When we come back, what's more likely, and your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. You played in the World Series of Poker with Matt Damon to prep for the role of Worm and Rounders.
We played in the World Series, Matt and I, not to prep. After the shoot, we were done with the film.
No kidding.
It was part of the run-up promoting the film. We both played along well.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching we'd gotten from Johnny Chan and Phil Hellmuth and a lot of these other guys stood us in good stead, and I got some good cards and won a few hands and everything. We both had very like dramatic exits. I actually played a Johnny Chan tip. I played pocket nines, mm-hmm, when I was on the button,
uh-huh,
and ended up with kind of, I bet it as though it was an ace king or something like that. I got a middle flop, I got a nine and a 10, and then I got a second 10. So I had a pretty much unreadable full house.
Yes.
And I got beat by four tens.
Get out of here.
By a guy named Surinder Singh.
He quadded tens against your boat?
Quad tens against an unreadable full house. And when I called, and I had more chips than him, when I flipped the boat, the whole table exploded. They were like, he's going to take Surinder Singh out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And he flipped quad tens.
Unbelievable.
Yep. It was incredible.
I was going to say, do you remember the hand that you went out with?
Every,
but how,
I mean,
could you not remember that?
There's more details of it too, but he said to me later, he goes on 99 out of 100 times, he goes, I had no idea that you had that hand. I'm blown away.
That and makes it worse, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, worse. I still, as we're talking about it, we're talking about it, and I'm having the Saving Private Ryan moment where everything goes silent again. And, you know, I was trying to play it off, but I just, you know, gut shot. When they talk about being gut shot, I was gut shot,
literally.
That
is the definition. Happy 54th birthday to Edward Norton.
Wow.
He's a cheerleader, too, at 54. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look at our phone lines. It's lit. It's a friggin' Christmas tree. I love it. All right, where are we going here?
A lot of win-loss game.
I know. People want to play win-loss game.
It's a fun game.
All right. Turzo gets he gets the front of the line, right?
Priority.
It's like priority check-in.
Right.
Is that what it is?
RESTSA
pre-check.
RESTSA?
Yeah. He's pre-check and clear.
Turzo's pre-checked.
All right.
Turzo and I are back here in the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Turzo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, we just probably better inform Nick, just because it's legal in California to smoke pot. You still can't be doing it while you're driving.
Dude, 15 and 2.
It makes my 12 and 5 look a lot better at the start of the.
Terza, you should have just said 17 and 0, man.
17 and 0, man.
Oh, I still have to be realistic. You know, you still have to try and play the game. But first thing, though, Brockman, I got to come at you real quick. Leave my coach alone. He does not have the most pressure on him. Just because you want to get rid of your future Hall of Fame GOAT.
Attaboy.
Head coach, leave my Kyle Shanahan alone, man. Leave him alone.
Well
no
done.
Pressure.
Well done.
Doing the
well
Super
done,
Bowl,
counselor. Guy. Well done, counselor.
Yeah, tell him to back up off you.
Well done, counselor.
Always. But, hey, I got one more thing for you, Rich.
Yes.
I do believe that the Browns are going to be sneaky good.
Yeah.
And I have a big feeling because – I'm keeping Deshaun Watson in the 15th round of our keeper league in our fantasy for Carl's.
Okay.
And I'm gonna ride that pony. And if he's the top five quarterback, I get huge value.
Okay.
If not, I might be at the bottom of the league.
Okay. Very good. That sounds good to me.
Hey Turzo, guess where I was this weekend?
Oh, don't tell me.
I was.
You were in Iowa?
I was in Iowa.
You didn't hit me up, my dude. Oh, man. Did you go to the fair?
Nah, I was like 2 hours away from Des Moines, so I couldn't holler at you.
Hold on. Thanks for the call,
yeah,
Turzo.
Dude.
Turzo, I'm sorry. We're going to have to let you go because we have some business to conduct here on the program. It's Friday, right?
Today's Friday.
Okay, yeah. It's Friday, right?
Yeah.
You're going to do What's More Likely shortly.
Minute,
maybe I'll take one more phone call. Maybe we'll take a break.
After.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that,
after.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's Friday, right?
It's Friday.
We've been here 5 days this week.
This is the,
Jay, you haven't been because Del Tufo, you know, was
Monday,
here for a couple of days. Now you were here,
Tuesday,
right?
Two or three,
okay.
Wednesday,
we spend a lot of time with each
Thursday.
Other, right? We spend a
Friday
lot of
time. Friday is still the fifth day of the week.
Right. We spend a lot of time with each other.
We're here all day.
On the air?
Really?
Off the air.
Off the air.
I mean, grand total. Of time that we've spent with each other.
Probably.
Add it all up. Have you spent more time with us or, say, your kid?
For sure, you guys.
Okay, all right. So just want to make sure, because, you know, your child might be, just like many Los Angeles-based children, overscheduled.
Overscheduled.
Okay, so you went where last weekend?
I was in Iowa last weekend.
You know, here's the problem.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a long time.
We sure have.
We're good friends.
I would agree.
Feller, you know, we went to Dallas together and slept in the same hotel room.
Didn't
hashtag
know that.
Weird group.
Didn't know that.
We're good friends.
Didn't
now.
Know that. Didn't have to.
We're not good friends with TJ. Because if you're good friends with someone.
You know when they've been to Iowa.
You know when they've been to Iowa. Because nobody goes there.
Look, man, you know, you keep
from Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles.
Understood.
That's what I mean.
Well, I mean, everyone, like every politico is in Iowa right now.
Right.
I mean,
you know, caucuses are coming.
There's certain people from Florida who don't live in Florida anymore. They're in Iowa. What? What are you doing in Iowa? Oh, wait a minute. Do you smell an Ashton story?
Yes, but it's also kind of a sad Ashton story.
Not an Ashton story, just a... I went. A friend of mine passed away from Iowa, so I
went didn't know
to,
that. Why didn't you tell me this?
It wasn't like a pleasant trip. It was.
Well, that's how you share these things.
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
You grieve through sharing.
I didn't want to put it out there.
Well, first of all, my condolences. Didn't know that, but you know, you could even come to me off the air and go, you know, you give me crap for never leaving my house. I was in Iowa this week. And then you drop it with Terzo.
Well, because Terzo lives in Iowa. That's my man, and I know I'm big in
Carl's.
That's
your man. You didn't want to go to a concert with him.
Right, but I also want to push back.
That was a six-hour drive, man.
I want to push back.
If I was in, say, Corona recently, I would have told Nick and Corona, hey, where are you right now, pulled over to the side of the road?
And you would have been
clearly
like,
high.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
15-2 with the Broncos in the win-loss game.
You could have been full Bruce Arians.
All right, Pete in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Let's take your call. What's up, Pete?
Just, I was thinking about kind of a dumb comparison. Back in March, all the sports shows were talking about the Mets. They have Verlander. They have Scherzer.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
They win 115 games. They're the greatest.
Yeah.
Now, here it is 5 months later, and they suck. So now the New York people are going back, well, we got Rodgers, we got Dalvin Cook, we still got Sauce Gardner. Maybe they're going to suck, too. All this overhype about getting these players, they may not mesh. You know, Verlander and Scherzer, they're gone down the road. Alonso, I don't know how he's doing.
He's hit a lot of home runs, buddy.
Who knows if Rodgers, Cook, and Gardner, even in the same world.
Yeah, you're also forgetting Quinnen Williams and Garrett Wilson.
From Alabama, by the way.
You know, you're forgetting Breece Hall. You're forgetting, you know, I could keep going on. I could go on and on. But, all right. By the way, another county heard from. I appreciate that, Pete. We should do a new segment called Maybe You're Going to Suck, Too. That's a new show.
They sucked.
They sucked. Maybe you're going to suck, too.
Maybe you're going to suck.
I mean, the Mets do.
And hold on a second, though. And obviously,
Pete Alonso has 37 home runs. I just want
with
to point
nobody
that
on
out.
Base.
Sucking.
So I don't know.
I think
the Jets are more prepared to win than, say, the Mets. I think they're more set up, would be the way to put it.
Who's the Edwin Diaz on the Jets?
Now that's.
Yeah. And then you lose him, and then you tell me how set up you are.
There is no Edwin
But that's what
Diaz.
I mean. Like, that kind of really derailed kind of the Mets season right from the get-go.
Right from the jump.
Don't you think?
Verlander didn't start pitching until the season
a
was
closer.
Happening.
Verlander took a while to come back.
Having no closer in baseball is like the runny nose, right? Like, you can't stop the cold, and it causes your whole body to feel like you're tired, you're achy. Yep. It affects the entire organism.
What's worse, having no closer or two quarterbacks?
I don't know. You should ask that. You're the one with two quarterbacks.
Dude,
you should answer that yourself.
You have the second overall pick.
I know.
Breathing down Rodgers' neck.
But nobody in MetLife Stadium's
Did you say
ever
breathing
chanted.
Down his neck?
No, nobody. Hold on a second. Nobody in MetLife's ever chanted for Zach Wilson while the starter's out there. Playing hurt on national television.
That's a good point.
You know, we haven't done that
Mac
one.
Jones had a broken ankle last year.
Bro, all I know
what are you guys
is
talking about?
Play the tape back. Play Zappy, the tape back against Zappy, the Bears. Zappy, we want Zappy. Zappy. We want Zappy without Chowder. Zappy rhymes with Quincy.
Show cousin from Boston.
Zappy's not even as good as Malik Cunningham.
I'm enjoying too much of these phone calls. Mets wind up sucking. Maybe your team will suck too. New segment on the Rich Eisen
great
show.
Logic.
I hope the Browns are good this year. I hope the Browns are good this year.
Or maybe they might suck too.
Right.
See how we're creating this segment.
Oh yeah, because Jay got that tattoo. So
exactly.
That's why
I got Eisen the Elf back there.
The Elf. So
on your butt.
I don't need to know.
You know about it.
I don't
DJ
want to
and I
know.
Live streamed it.
We live streamed it.
I know. From the tattoo
you actually get you signed off on it.
Not proud of that content. Not proud of it. I'm usually proud of much content. Not that one. We'll take a break. What's more likely coming up right here on the show? You know what we're going to do? We're going to do what's more likely top of hour three.
Great.
That's what we're going to do.
You can do that.
That's more calls.
Let's take more calls.
Let's play win-loss game.
Oh, by the way, Ron Rivera's made a call. We got to talk about that, too. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Iowa.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right. The League's Cup championship match this weekend.
Boom.
Inter Miami will be taking on Nashville for the League's Cup.
That's fun.
Do you know who plays for Inter Miami? Just quick guess.
Lionel Messi.
Yeah, him.
You didn't let him guess.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, he does. 9 goals.
Well, you think I was going to say someone other than Messi?
9 goals.
6 games?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Matches.
Matches, my bad.
I think.
It's too easy. Him.
Well, and everybody's awestruck, starstruck.
It's like me playing in Coop's Little League.
Or it's like Kramer going to that dojo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it looks like right now.
It's amazing, but he should be doing that against this level of talent. It would be like if LeBron went over and played in
I guess.
European
I don't know.
League.
I mean, I'm sure the MLS players would push back, but
no, Rich, they couldn't. Not against Messi's level of talent. No,
they just bounced the or he had one. And by the way, I believe, let me get this right, 9 goals, 4 outside, 18.
Yeah,
and impressive. So they just bounced the Philadelphia Union. The Hungarian player Daniel Gazdag went up to him and I guess chatted with him after the match, and this went viral. Gazdag's wife wrote, "He's never looked at me like that."
Wow,
that's awesome.
That went viral.
He is like he is making love to Messi right there.
But in his defense, Chris, he sees his wife every day.
And his wife's like,
he doesn't see Messi every day.
Oh yeah, you
never looked at me like that.
That's so funny.
So it's a big setup for the big final on Saturday night.
On Apple. Let's go.
There you go. Yes. Which you can see Apple right Plus. Here Let's on go. Roku. Back here on our show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So Ron Rivera played coy the other day when asked about who the starting quarterback is for the Washington Commanders. Do we have that soundbite? Do we have that? I think we do. From the other day. Yeah. I think we have that from the other day. My bad. Because we're all wondering, you know, how Sam Howell's kind of like a rookie quarterback. Desmond Ritter's definitely the guy. He's a second-year guy.
Yep.
Pickett, there's no question, right? I mean,
got it.
Like, what are we really? We're gonna try Jacoby Brissett when you got this kid. You snagged him in the 5th round. And the reason why he dropped to the 5th round from North Carolina, Mack Brown, his coach at Carolina, told us this going into the draft when we had him on the show. Hey, look. We didn't do him any favors. Right. All of our good kids, or I shouldn't say that. He's like, our best foot that we had forward for him was 2 years ago. This past year, he didn't have the best setup here. But he's great. You should draft him. And Washington, you're going to try him on for size? You're going to just see if Jacoby Brissett can start again? So kind of like, what gives with this answer from Ron?
Well, again, I said I got to sit down with both Eric and Sam, or Eric and DeVita, and really evaluate it and make sure, you know, he's doing the things that we need him to do. And yesterday he had a really good day. We're really pleased with it after having watched the tape. and we'll see how it is after we get a chance to watch this tape together. You know, we're traveling today, so we'll sit down tomorrow and go through it and talk about Sam and really just evaluate that and evaluate Jacoby as well. I mean, Jacoby did some really good things too, so we feel really comfortable about the quarterback room right now.
Well, I must have sat down. Sit down happened between that soundbite and today's tweet that came from the Commander's website and Twitter account and all that business, or X account.
Stop.
Sam Howell is the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders. When they start week one, it's going to be him against the Arizona Cardinals. And one would think, a nice soft open.
Colt McCoy has entered the chat.
There he is.
Who knows?
No surprise here. Zero surprise. I mean, this is it. Got to see what you got with him. Yeah. See what you got with him. I kind of think that's the mantra of the entire Washington Commanders season with everybody.
Open audition for the new owners.
When I say, I mean everybody. Yeah. You could even put Rivera on that clock.
No doubt.
And that has nothing to do with him or anything other than the fact that it's always a frightening thing when there's new management in town.
Yeah.
Just ask everybody that you're in this campus or with us, right?
Happened to me.
Always. Always.
You want to come and let's put your own people in?
Let's see what you got with this guy. Yep. Eric Bieniemy. Let's see what you got with this guy. Sam Howell. Kind of know what you got with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Throw it deep to that guy.
A nice wide
receiver. That's it.
Jahan, I mean, Terry.
Sam Howell's got the weapons. And that's my other shrug emoji team of 2023 from the NFC. I told you the Browns were the AFC. Washington Commanders. You tell me. They could make some hay, man. If this kid comes out of the box like one of those rookie let's just throw it out here. Just, you know, if he comes out of the box like some of these really good rookie quarterbacks in the previous days, and you could sit here and go, whatever, Rich. Fine. You never know in this league. Take it away. Here's Sam Howell.
Ron was saying that the approach you kind of took was it was your job to lose. And so what was it like, you know, knowing that you kind of had to live up to those expectations day after day and just kind of putting that out of sight?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't really think about it. You know, I just tried to do everything I could to come out here each and every day and just, you know, just try to be the best player I could be. I wasn't really worried about anyone else's expectations except for my own. You know, I have very high standards for myself. And so I just came out here every single day trying to be the best that I could. And if I make a mistake, just try to learn from it. And so from a mindset standpoint coming into this, it really wasn't anything different than what I'm used to.
There you go. Here we go. Let's go. I'm just going to throw it out here. What if he comes out of the box like Justin Herbert?
Ooh, baby.
He's 5 inches shorter. So he's not the same height weight, okay? I'm not comparing like his – I'm just talking about results. Not all the wins, but it's just like, oh, okay, I get it. This is why he's the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders in the same way that Justin Herbert, when he came out of the box, it was apparent to everyone except apparently Anthony Lynn for like 3 weeks that he's the guy. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What
if he does that? What if he does that and Chase Young comes back and he's looking healthy and the defense looks like the team that can really put the bang thing on you, and this team looks like the team that handed the Eagles their first loss of the season. Yeah. This is the team that looks like the team that handed, if I'm not mistaken, the Steelers their first loss of the season a couple of years ago. One of those teams that can not prevent you from yards after the catch on defense because they can really buzz around. And I'm just naming only a handful of people here. I'm giving you the outskirts of what could be a really successful season. Or they're terrible and we're throwing Jacoby Brissett in there hoping they keep losing games because Josh Harris and the rest of the ownership group, Magic Johnson's like, look, I live in Los Angeles. There's this quarterback out there. Let me tell you about him. He'll tweet it out like exactly. This Caleb Williams guy just went 22 of 25 for 403 yards Magic, and 4 touchdowns. I think he might be the Heisman Trophy winner again. He better not do that because it could be one of those like
tampering. Tampering, man.
What I'm about to say is a positive because I've said a lot of not.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! You hear that?
You just say it. You don't say I'm going to be positive and then be positive. Just say it.
Well, I'm going to be. This is a positive because I've said a lot of bad things about this person recently. Okay. Sam Howell's ceiling for his first year is a Baker Mayfield-type rookie season. Remember, Baker in 2018 set the rookie touchdown record. He had 27 touchdowns. He was second in Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think that is best-case scenario for Sam Howell.
Best-case scenario is that he proves you drafted wisely. Don't worry about quarterbacks from here on out. You got the guy.
Yeah, exactly. At least till next year.
Right. And hopefully he can take Eric Bieniemy's mean words.
He got in my face and yelled.
He's mean. What a big old meanie offensive coordinator with his X's and O's and all the expletives and O's.
He ear-holed me.
Eric Bieniemy said that Eric Bieniemy will be your best friend.
Oh, my goodness.
And your harshest critic.
Expletives and oh, my goodnesses. All right, Mike in North Carolina, let's take his call to be fair and balanced. Let's go. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How you guys?
I am doing fine. All right, Mike. We have what's known in the radio business as a hard out. I've got 3 minutes for you. I think I know what you want to do. Tell us what you want to do.
Win-loss Jets.
Win-loss.
Sorry, not Giants.
Giants. Okay, win-loss Giants.
Can't let you do Jets.
Because we just sang the praises of the possible praises of the Washington Commanders. I need NFL Films music. Here we go. This is Mike in North Carolina. Interesting spot to be a Giant fan. Here we go. First up, Mike, home for the Dallas Cowboys. What do you got?
Win.
That's a win. I heard that. At the Arizona Cardinals?
Win.
At the 49ers on a Thursday night?
Loss.
Home for the Seahawks on a Monday night?
Win.
3-1. At the Miami Dolphins?
Win, two will be hurt.
4-1. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's a salty to a comment.
Right there.
At the Buffalo Bills.
Loss.
Oh, man. Oh, Dayball's homecoming is a loss. All right. Home for the Washington Commanders.
Win.
Heck with your good talk of the Commanders, Rich. 5-2. Home for the Jets.
Loss. I'm on Jets, baby.
All right. 5-3 at the Raiders.
Win.
6-3 at the Cowboys.
Tulsa, I'll give to Dallas because they're at home.
6-4 at the Commanders.
Thanks.
Win.
7-4 home for the Patriots.
Win.
8-4 after the bye week, home for the Packers.
Win.
9-4 at the New Orleans Saints.
Win.
10-4 at the Philadelphia Eagles on a Monday night.
Loss.
10-5 home for the Rams.
Win.
11-5 home for the Eagles.
Loss.
11-6.
Well, Jalen Hurts stays healthy. Philadelphia's going to be hard to beat.
All right. There you go. Thanks for the call, Mike in North Carolina, everybody. 11-6. Write down Mike.
From North Kakalaki.
I'll take the, NC. Take the under.
By the way, how about this Giants schedule? Forget the NFC East. We know that's coming.
Yeah.
How about this one? They're at the 49ers.
Tough.
How about home for the Jets? Dude, that might break WFAN.
That week?
Yes. If both teams are really good and need it, right? Or both teams are desperate and really need it. Or either, it doesn't matter what they are. It's going to be huge.
It really doesn't matter, yeah.
Unless they're both like 2-5, 2-6, and then it's just like, who cares? That would be
Anything's
a nightmare.
Possible.
Dude, you know, at the Raiders, how about Belichick and the Giants? Home for the Patriots. Giants, Patriots back in the old day, man.
It's Bill.
Going for an undefeated.
Bill homecoming.
Right? A Bill homecoming and a Dable homecoming at the Bills.
That's another tough game.
Yeah, baby. Huh? Dable saying, okay, I love you, Josh Allen, but I got my own Josh Allen and Daniel Jones.
Wow.
I want to see his face. If you could only have seen his face. That's the face right there. That's the face.
God bless fans. Because they don't know anything, and they're so delusional. I mean, that's just...
But you're one of them. What are you talking about, God bless fans? You're one of them.
I am realistic.
Oh. By the way,
You're not going to hear me come on this show and say the Pats are going 15-2.
Now, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Now, that's fanatic. You're a fan. Those are fanatics.
I'm a fanatic, but I said 11-6.
That's more likely than the Giants going 11-6.
You know what? You are fanatic. You know why? Because you were on that website for 11 different hats and jerseys.
That is a Photoshop. That don't mean gears. Nothing.
You need gear.
That don't mean
you know,
nothing.
If you root for 11 teams, you need gear.
You need a lot of gear.
Everyone talks about Russell Wilson's 10. I talked about it in hour one with, who knew, real estate magnate. Tyler Lockett. Yeah. Were you the one who sold Russ that 10 bath house?
No.
And, you know, if you have 10 bathrooms, you need like 10 étagers or, you know, you need 10.
Big word alert.
What's an étagère?
I don't know. It's like a, you know, like.
A what?
No, it's shelving. It's shelving. Oh, you need shelving.
Oh, got it.
Oh, okay. Could have said that.
You know, you need 10 plungers.
You need 10
sets need of 10, towels.
Yeah. It's a lot.
A lot of toilet paper.
Yeah. Same thing with him. Soap. You got all those teams, you need hats. Shirts.
Look, this is football season. I only root for one football team.
That's it.
Okay? That's the Dallas Cowboys.
Penn State. Florida State.
Florida State. We're talking pro.
There you are. Florida State.
You got to put Colorado on there.
Georgetown must have a team.
I'll accept Colorado being up there. I will, actually.